Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Jill, and I'm the Manhattan Beach Campus Pastor. Thank you so much for joining us today. Also, hello to everyone over at our Torrance Campus. Now is the time in our service where we get to connect live, and I love that you're here with us. I miss you. I can't wait to get back over there and see you soon. Also, anyone watching online, thanks for being here today. We hope it's a really great morning for you. We are in the fourth week of our series of messages that we have been calling Portraits. And now in this series, we have been looking more specifically at what it means to be a part of Journey of Faith. We've been looking at a snapshot of what does it mean to grow in your faith or grow in your community, make a difference in the South Bay through being involved right here at Journey of Faith. Now to answer that question or to focus some of our thinking, we've asked this: what are we inviting people into? Now maybe you're here this morning because you were invited by someone to come to Journey of Faith. Or maybe there's people in your life that you're like, I should really invite them to come with me. What would I say that this is all about? You might tell them, it's great services. There's music and a message. Or you might say, there's serving opportunities where you can give back regularly. Or we get in community and we form deeper connections with each other. And all of those are right answers. That is the topic of the previous messages that you've heard in this series. But if we only say that, it's an incomplete answer. And to understand that, I brought something that I wanted to show you. Now, if you have dedicated a child at Journey of Faith in the last 12 or so years, you've seen these jars before. But for today, we've got this jar right here. There are 168 buttons in this jar. That represents the 168 hours that you have in your week. So this button right here, that's this morning. Great job. You did it. You made it. This is a great experience together, right? And then let's say you say yes to serving, right? And you make space in your week for groups. That's two buttons. There we go. Now, look, we've tripled our buttons. But still, when we compare where our faith expression will lie, you see that this is just a little bit of time. And while we work so hard to make this fun and engaging and transformational and give you the chance to encounter God, we know that there's a lot of other time out there that might be shaping you. So what we're inviting people into is a deep personal connection with Jesus that permeates into every other space of your life. That your faith wouldn't be limited to who you are here and when you are here, but instead you would have a vibrant faith that grows and flourishes all 168 hours of your life. That is possible through a relationship with Jesus. And that's actually our main idea for today, is that we can develop a rich personal relationship with Jesus. Now, this should blow your mind every time you think of it. This is the God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things. And he wants a relationship with you. Not just that, he wants a rich personal connection to you that changes your life. That's mind-blowing. And we see examples in the Bible all the time of people who have a rich and meaningful connection with Jesus, specifically in the book of Psalms, which is the book of the Bible that we've been focusing on during this series and understanding how some of what we believe comes straight from Scripture. The Psalms are full of prayers and worship and time where people are just spending time with God. They're experiencing all of who he is. They have wild and complex emotions, and they're turning straight to God to figure out what they need. There's actually a really beautiful picture of this close relationship with God in the first book of Psalms, in the very first book, where the author uses a metaphor about trees. Here's what he says. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with the sinner or join in with the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. He's saying that these trees are so close to a life-giving water source that it's just gushing and nourishing their roots, so much so that no matter what comes with any season that they're in, they prosper. They are alive. Because of where they are planted, they are sustained by this water, this living water that gets them through life. And so the author is saying that we too can be rooted in proximity to God, spending time with Jesus so that our faith flourishes just like these trees. It's always making a difference. It's always seeing us through. Our faith is always alive. And I feel so fortunate that I get to see this example of this kind of faith all over this place, all throughout Journey of Faith. So many of you came to mind as I was thinking of people who I know their lives have been changed by Jesus. Here's just a couple that I get to share with you today. This first one, this is Pat. Pat has served in our student ministry for over 20 years. Pat is the kind of person that whatever you're going through, if you can talk to Pat, he'll encourage you to stay focused on what God is doing, and you will leave Pat's presence feeling a little bit better about what's going on in your life. This is Monique. Monique, she comes at 11 o'clock here in our Manhattan Beach campus. She rarely misses a Sunday. She's always right there. You're in Monique's seat for the service. No worries, she's not mad about it. But when Monique is here, she is just taking notes like crazy, almost like she cannot get enough of what Jesus is teaching her. And one of these days, I'm going to ask her to see those notes because I know she's going back to them to figure out how to live her life throughout the week. Here's the last one. This is Peter. Peter is so significant in all of our Sunday morning experiences, and he's back on our production team, so you maybe have never seen him. But Peter reads his Bible every day. And not only is it changing his life, he's regularly sharing these verses with people in his life group and with his kids and with people that need encouragement so that the word of God can continue to change the life of people around him. Now, Pat and Monique and Peter, they're just normal people like you and me. But they have figured out, how do I have a rich and personal relationship with Jesus through my spiritual patterns, through the way that they spend time in scripture, they spend time in prayer, so much so that when I am with them, I feel like I understand more about Jesus because their lives are being shaped by Jesus. And that's what happens when we spend time with him. We are shaped more like him so that the people around us can notice too. So how do we do it? How do we set up spiritual rhythms and patterns that put us in proximity to God so much so that our lives can be changed through a meaningful relationship with Jesus? Here's the first way. Pray continually and purposefully. Now, prayer is an open invitation for us to connect with God. And we can know that, but still sometimes prayer, we don't quite feel how it's working, or we don't necessarily understand the significance of it, so we don't pray. Or on the opposite side of that, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. I can't stand in God's presence and talk to him. Who am I that I could even pray? I can't sound like these other people do. So we don't pray. Right? But God is asking us to connect with him through prayer. And the good news is that the Bible teaches us how to pray. Jesus teaches his disciples a way that they can regularly pray, and we see examples of those different kinds of prayers throughout the Psalms. So we're going to look today at these ways to pray taught by Jesus with some examples from the Psalms. The first is this. It's called adoration. It's just this simple idea of adoring God. When I'm teaching my kids to pray or praying with my kids at night, I just say, tell God what you love the most about him. So here's some examples. In the Psalms, they say, your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. Your justice is eternal and your instructions are perfectly true. Let me live so that I can praise you, and may your regulations help me. They're just gushing with love for God. And I have a 4-year-old son, and I'm not kidding when I tell you that he tells me he loves me 20 to 30 times a day. And I'm never like, that's enough, son. I get it. No, I'm like, I love you too, sweet boy. This is amazing. And I have learned from his generous love and adoration that I should be generous in my love and adoration of God. And when we pray, adoring God, it reminds us of who he is. We're not simply coming to him with our needs and our sins. We're taking a moment to say, God, you're amazing, and you're big, and you're faithful, and you can handle anything, and you're just, and you're the same, and you've promised us so many things. And when we adore God, it reminds us of who God is, and it puts us in our place of who we are. And so starting with our hearts in the right place, then we can move on to these other ways to pray where we bring our needs to God. The second way that you can pray is this: confession. And now you might hear this word and think about the act of confession where you have to go and tell someone your sins. But when you are praying with confession, that's just between you and God. A conversation between you and the person who knows you better than anyone else. Asking God to look into your life and show you the spaces that you need to change. Here's some examples from Psalms. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands. We ask God, we say, search me and find that pride that I'm still clinging to. God, search me and reveal the distractions in my life that are keeping me from following you. God, search me and convict me so that I can follow your plan. And when we ask God to do that, it's his part to search and reveal. And it's our part to accept and to change. When God reveals things to us through this regular confession, you can then say, God, forgive me. God, show me the path forward. I have strayed. Help me follow your commands. It deepens our relationship with God when we have sin revealed. It shouldn't separate us further. Here's the next one. Intercession. This is the idea that you can pray for the needs of others. We all experience seasons of life where something happens and we're like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Or who can do anything about this? Who can fix this? If you find yourself in that moment, that deep spot of what do we do? That's when you pray. That's when you bring those needs before God and you say, God, you can do something. I trust that you are in control here. You have a plan for this. Here's some examples. May all who fear you find in me a cause for joy. So I have put my hope in your word. God, may my hope from your word be a reason to bring hope in hopeless situations. Here's the next one. Let me be united with all who fear you, with those who know your laws. God, help us get along. Christians can't get along. Help us to be united through your laws. Help me be centered in your laws so that I can get along with others. Here's the last one. Lord, it is time for you to act, for these evil people have violated your instructions. This is, God, I know that you're just. I know that you believe in justice. You love justice. God, move here. Convict here. Bring your plan forward here. We can pray for our government and for our schools and for hunger and for loneliness and for mental health and for healing. We can pray for people in our community to know and follow God. That's intercession. That's asking God to move in the spaces that feel so broken. And you can also intercede with some specific needs, and that is called petition. Now, petition, this is coming before God and telling him what you need, what you need, what the people that you love need. And when you petition God, you can be vulnerable and you can be bold with what you ask for. You can know that it matters to you and you matter to God. So here's some examples of petition. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truth of your instruction. God, help me to love the Bible and follow it. Here's another one. Give me discernment, or give discernment to me, your servant. If you have a big decision coming up, you can pray that God helps you make the right decision. Here's another one. Now let your unfailing love comfort me just as you promised me. God, comfort me in my circumstance. God, I don't know how I'm going to do it another day. God, be there for me. Give me these things. When I used to pray petition prayers, I really struggled with wanting to get it right. Like, I wanted to be eager, but not too eager. And I wanted to ask for what I wanted, but I wanted to make sure that God know, like, we're cool if you don't give it to me. Or like, I felt like I had to add, like, if it is in your will, Lord, right, to all of these prayers. And I was really overthinking talking to God. And the less I focused on trying to get it right or wrong, the freer I became in praying. Because when I search the Psalms for prayers, they're not proper and polite, right? They are raw. These people are exposed before God. It is gut-wrenching. They are overwhelmed with who God is. And so as I have had to learn to be more comfortable with prayer, there's a couple of things that have also helped me. The first is pray with what you have, not with what you haven't. Right? If you're not feeling a season of joy and adoration, you don't have to fake it with God. Or if you are really struggling to give over a sin, or if you're denying that something is in you that God is trying to show you, don't avoid God. Say, God, we got to work this out. Talk to God in that. If you're struggling to pray at all, grab the Psalms. Pray through those. Here's one action step that I have for you this week. Identify when it's easy and when it's challenging to be in conversation with God. There are times that it's easy, like before a meal, right? And there are times that it's like, I'm full of distractions. I'm so tired. I can't take my focus off of the things going on in my world. So think about your day. Think about what you're going to encounter and figure out what's the best time for you to pray. When will you find the most focus? For me, it's before my kids are up. I don't have a quiet moment the rest of the day once my kids are up. And so I've had to really make that a time that I spend time with God. And if you're in this moment, if you've identified when you're going to be able to give God most of your focus, and you don't know what to say, just listen. Just sit there, set a timer, a 1 minute timer, so that you're not distracted by feeling time pass, but really just sit there and say, okay, God, I'm here. God, what can you show me? What do you have for me today? And as you're sitting there in that still and quiet time, God may bring things to your mind. God may show you some things that he wants to talk to you about, and that's when you can begin to pray. Now, I've talked a lot about when to pray and how to pray and where to pray and all those types of things, but let me just share with you this quote that was so helpful for me. It's in this book. It's called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools by Tyler Staton. This is one of my favorite books on prayer. He says, the only way to get prayer wrong is to try to get it right. So don't try to get it right. Just do it. just pray. Just grow in your ability to tell God anything. Nothing's too big or too small for God. He just wants you to talk to him about it. That's the first way we can deepen our personal connection with Jesus. And here's the next one. Develop a pattern of quiet and study. In the Christian world, this is often called a quiet time. It is a time where you're regularly focusing on God, reading something from the Bible, and trying to understand what God is saying to you and how it should change your life. But we live in a time where this should be so easy. We can watch 100 sermons. We can open our phones and have access to every Bible translation. We can pick a reading plan based on a topic that's near and dear to our hearts, right? We are so fortunate that we have all of this at our disposal. But what can happen is sometimes all of that we have access to makes it hard to choose. We're like, but which one is the best one? Which one will make the biggest difference in my life? And I get it. I get that pressure. So I did a lot of work. I researched. I figured out the very best Bible study that you can do. It will make a difference in your life. It's this. It's the one that you will do. That's it. Pick one and do it every day. God can use anything to change your life, but not if he doesn't have your time. And the thing is, this is really important. There is an ongoing threat to our quiet time with God, and that's how quickly we are being shaped by everything else in the world. The world is fast and the world is loud, and there is something grabbing for your attention all of the time. It's a scroll here or a click there, right? There are literally algorithms that are designed to understand what you like and show it to you so you don't stop watching. Or there's ads that pick up on your interests and the things that you like to do, so they put the things you like to do right in front of your face. Or there's headlines that may have no good news inside of them, but the headlines scream, click me, read me, keep coming back to me. And what happens is that all of these things begin to add up in our life, and before we know it, we are being shaped by what's coming at us from out there instead of being shaped by what God wants to do in here. And so if we're going to have quiet time of an intentional study with God, we have to fight for it. We have to make a change. And it can be hard. It's so hard to make a new pattern in your life. Oftentimes you have to give up something or replace something. I realized that I had this really silly pattern that if I was at my computer and my brain was kind of going from thought to thought, I think of it like a mental suddenly my brain was umming and I was on social media. And I was like, how did I get here? How did I spend 15 minutes here already? Right? And so I realized that I was doing this and I was like, this pattern has to change. And so I read, part of my devotional life is I read the daily Bible verse from the YouVersion app. I think Alex talked about it a couple weeks ago. But what I tried to do is that when my brain I try to think of that verse instead. I try to say, I want to think about what is right and what's true instead of what's just easiest for me to access. Because the world is saying, hurry up, listen, be loud, keep up. But what God is saying is be still. Be still. And know that I am God. I'm so afraid that we're drowning out the presence of God with all of the other noise of the world. Because what God is saying is be still. Slow down. Be quiet. Be focused. In stillness. Find and know God. It disrupts everything we think is usual for our human experience to just stop for a second. And once we've focused and we've settled ourselves, we can open ourselves up to studying what God wants to tell us. There's this beautiful prayer in Psalms that we read, "Open my eyes to see the wonderful truth in your instruction." When you find stillness, then you can say, "God, help me learn something. God, help me stay focused. God, change my life with what I read today." And in that stillness and in that curiosity, God will show things about himself to you. And as you learn more about God and as you see how that makes a difference in your life, he'll show you the things you need to do differently for yourself and for those around you. And as you regularly practice this time of daily time with God, you're gonna have to fight for it. Because we're going to be shaped by something. And if we're not careful, it will be something other than our relationship with Jesus. So here's the action step that I have for you today. Prioritize time with God, especially during busy seasons. Anyone else excited that it's officially fall? Have you celebrated yet with a pumpkin-flavored beverage or snack? Just me? I like to have my pumpkin cream cold brew, but I know that it comes with a side of trepidation. Because this is a really busy season for my family. We've got the holidays, we've got 3 or 4 birthdays coming up in the next couple of months. We've got all of the things that life's gonna throw at us. They're good things, they're fun things. But if I don't decide today what my spiritual rhythms are gonna look like and prioritize those first, they simply won't happen. Can you relate to that? Find some focus time and prioritize. When can you spend a moment with God? And when can your moment grow into a handful of moments? And when can it become 15 minutes of your day? When can you grow in every area of your life being shaped by Jesus? And I'm excited today because we have something to give to you that can help you accomplish this. A while back, a gentleman right here in our congregation came to us to tell us that his life had been changed by a book. He said that his daughter had given him a daily devotional. It's just a book with a scripture reading, a thought, and a prayer. And it sat on his nightstand for a really long time. And then one day, he picked it up and he read it. And through that regular reading, that daily devotion, God changed everything about his life. And he said, "I want to make a way for everyone in my church, everyone in this congregation, to have that same opportunity to spend time with Jesus." He said, "Can I buy a devotional for everyone at Journey of Faith?" And we were so excited about what God was doing in his life, and we knew this series was coming up, and we said, "Yes, of course." So today, we have bought for you this devotional. It's by Timothy Keller. It's called The Songs of Jesus. And we chose this one because it's in a devotional based on the Psalms. Jesus was familiar with the Psalms. He quoted the Psalms more than any other Old Testament book in his life and prayer. And so this book can help you turn the Psalms into a prayer to see how that they can make a difference in your life. It's designed to be used daily. And right in the front of the book, in the first couple of pages, they recommend 3 ways you can use the book, depending on whether or not this is your first time of devotion, whether you already have a good spiritual rhythm, how you could use this a little bit longer for your devotion. But our hope is that through this, you would be able to prioritize a rhythm of spiritual life that continues to flourish and grow. Also, because of this man's generosity, we have, this is for our Journey kids. So if you have a Journey kid here today, you can pick up 1 copy of this down by our kids check-in area. This will help you walk through the Bible in a year. These are 1 per family. These are 1 per person. So if you're here today, here in at Torrance, please take 1 of these. And I can't believe that I'm saying this, but you don't have to wait till January 1st to start. That feels nice and clean, right? But you can start today. Start with September 28th. Open it up and spend a little bit of time every day because you will be shaped by something. We don't want it to be the busyness and stress of this world. We want it to be a foundation on God and his word. So here's what we've talked about today. We can develop a rich and personal relationship with Jesus. And here's how. Pray continually and purposefully and develop a pattern of quiet and study. Would you stand right now as we close out our service? These books are gonna be on the patio, the lobby, and the courtyard. You can grab one on your way out. If you need prayer today, if you want someone to intercede on your behalf, talk to God about your prayer need. We have an amazing team of volunteers and staff down at the cross at both our Torrance and campus. And hey, as you go today, would you see this as more than a gift? Would you see it as an invitation to a deeper, more personal connection with God that will have you like those trees planted along the riverbank, always thriving, always flourishing, and faith that's always alive? Thank you so much for coming today. We hope that you have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.